Rasul Kareem, Amma Ba'd. We were discussing istinja for the past 3-4 weeks, and alhamdulillah, we've come to the latter part, or to the end of istinja. A few miscellaneous maslas, which by the way have been discussed, we'll just mention some of them. When a person is ill or hospitalized and the person is unable to go to the toilet, see, our shariat is a very easy shariat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made many concessions and created ease. So if obviously if a person is bedridden, hospitalized, cannot move very easily, can't go to the toilet, then we find, comes in a hadith also, that a person is able to use some type of container and in his place to relieve himself in that place. For example, the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith comes, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had used a container, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything that came out of the body of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was absolutely pure. We can't draw an analogy with ourselves. The perspiration that came out of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was used as the best form of ithar. When cupping was done, the blood that was taken out from the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pure. And even the urine of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not like our urine. It was absolutely pure. But nevertheless, to teach this ummah, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to do certain things, had to show certain things. So the urine was kept in a bottle. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used a bottle. So whatever utensil is available, whatever they give a person in the hospitals, etc., to use, then he can use that under the circumstances. And how we understand, just to complete what we were saying, on one occasion Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, this blood of mine has been taken out, go and dispose of it. So he went and he came back. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, did you dispose of it? Yes, I disposed of it. I think you drank it. He said, yes, I drank it. Same with the urine of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Told someone to go and dispose of it. And he went and he drank it. So firstly, the fact that they drank it showed, like the perspiration of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a very, very beautiful fragrance. You can't draw an analogy with our perspiration. It showed that they understood that this is pure. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't reprimand. Rather, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them some virtue now. That the fact that you drank it, and this will be the virtue. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, he drank the blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him some glad tidings that now that the blood, my blood is mixed with your blood, or it is part of your body now. And you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him some glad tidings. Nevertheless, so that is the ruling in that regard. We spoke about a person reading literature, using the phone, all that is not permissible in the toilet. And we spoke about standing and urinating, urinals, not permissible. And in this day and age, we have to wash ourselves. We cannot just suffice on the tissue paper. So most of these aspects, alhamdulillah, we have covered. Today one masla came, so I thought I'll share that also now. Someone is ill, sick, and he has this continuous urine drops that's coming out. One is a person has it temporarily for a short period of time, but it stops. But now if a person got this coming out all the time, or bleeding continuously, or passing wind, flatulence, continuous. So the Shariat has made provision for this person, what is called ma'azur. This person is regarded to be a ma'azur, but when is he regarded to be a ma'azur? So we need to understand few aspects about the ma'azur. To be classified as a ma'azur in the Shariat, from the beginning of the salah time till the end of the salah time, there must be no period where this person can make wudu and perform his first salah in total purity. So just before the salah time sets in. For example, just a hypothetical example, if the Isha salah time sets in at 7:15, for example. So just before 7:15, from that time, say 1 second before that, right till the morning, till Fajr time, for example, that entire period the urine is dripping. There is no few minutes in between where he can just make a quick wuzu and read his salah in purity. So once that happens, the Shariat will classify him as a ma'zur. So what's the ruling for the ma'zur? The ruling for the ma'zur is that his wudu will not break for the reason that he is excused. But he will have to make a fresh wudu at the start of each salah time. His wudu will break for other reasons. If his urine is dripping, but he passes wind, his wudu will break. He bleeds, his wudu will break. So whatever he's a ma'zur for, then he will be excused for that. But for other reasons, his wudu will break. He will have to make a fresh wudu. But for the issue that he has, he will have to make a fresh wudu at the beginning of each salah time, and then his wudu will remain, despite that urine dripping or his medical condition. So that is the ease that Shariat has given. And to remain a ma'zur, it doesn't have to be that urine drips all the time. Now after he qualified for that one salah time, all that is required is that in every salah time, at least one time, the urine drips. Then he will still remain a ma'zur. And that rule will still apply to him, that every salah, he will have to make a fresh wudu. Now when he becomes normal again, is when for an entire salah time, the urine stops. Just before that salah time, till the end of the salah time, he doesn't experience that condition. Now he will be regarded to be a normal person once again. So that is the ruling in his regard. Very, very easy. Allah Ta'ala has made it very, very simple. The next section is regarding wudu. And we should understand that wudu, tahara, is the key to our salah. Person is making so much of effort coming to the masjid, taking out time, sometimes rushing, etc. And if his wudu is not correct, the key is not right, he's not going to open the door. Salah is not going to be right. Therefore, the ulama have advised us to learn and to be conscious of making our wudu, ghusl, wudu, tahara, making sure that it is correct, so that our salah will be in order, that when we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can have hope that our salah is there for us. It must not be that we are told that no, unfortunately, your wudu wasn't correct. Person is so happy, he's going for Hajj. Did everything. And then now, when he goes there, so they tell him, no, the one number is not right here on the visa. Visa, one number is not right, or on the passport, is not correlating. Unfortunately, we can't allow you. So how that person will feel, how disheartened he will be. Imagine a man read 40 years salah, 50 years salah, and comes there and he's told, you know what, your wudu wasn't right. How you feel about it? So just like that, we should make sure that we get our wudu right. So the first thing, there are many virtues, but we'll just explain the essentials in the wudu. One is the sunnah wudu. Inshallah, all of us have learned the sunnah wudu. But to be particular about the essentials of wudu, the 4 compulsory actions. So that is a starter. You're doing the wudu, no problem. But make sure these 4 aspects are done very well. So the first aspect is فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ, the washing of the face. So from the hairline, person could be bald, has a receding hairline. But the face starts from where the normal hairline is. So from the hairline till beneath the chin, from one earlobe till the other earlobe, this entire area is the face. That entire area must be washed thoroughly. And this gap they talk about between the beard and the ear is about a finger gap there, 2 centimeters, about an inch gap. This year, many people wash till the beard. They ignore this area here. This we must make sure is also washed when we're making wudu. The farz is it should be washed once, but the sunnah is it should be washed thrice. With regards to the beard, if the beard is thick that you cannot see the skin, that beard that is in line with the face and the skin has to be washed. That being beard that hangs down, you have to make khilal of it. But the beard that is adjacent to the skin, that has to be washed on top. If the beard is thin, such that you can see the skin of the face, then the water must reach the skin of the face. So that is regarding the face. So persons around the eyes, the eye wells, the eyebrows, make sure all this area is wet. The next fard action in wudu is the washing of the arms from the fingertips till past the elbows. Thrice, and to make sure that we rub while we're washing. The main thing is the elbows often are left dry or is not washed properly. So we go past the elbows towards the bicep. Make sure that we wash that area. Right arm and the left arm. That entire area must be washed. Now washing means that there's dripping of water, not wiping. So in the old days, they would make wuzu from the lota, from the jug, from a container utensil. So how they would wash the arms, take it in two hands and pour it and then rub. Nowadays we use a tap, so we got our own ways of washing. From the fingertips, sunnah is from the fingertips till the elbows. But when you're washing from the jug, bring it on the original way, you're taking it from the river also, then you would scoop it with your both hands, and you would pour, and then you would rub. But as long as you'll find that afterwards, water is dripping. Water is dripping. That is why Mufti Musa Saleh has gone to America now. When he was with the Jamiat, he printed the kitab that for people that are sick, how they can make wudu. So he had given some advice where you use a spray bottle and you spray so much of water that the water starts to bead and drip. It starts to bead and drip. So according to Mufti Saab, that would be sufficient for, that wouldn't be like wiping. Wiping will be taking something wet and just wiping. This would also be in the category of washing. Okay, so right arm, left arm. Make sure the elbows are done correctly. The third aspect is wamsahu bi ru'usikum. All in Quran. All this is mentioned in Quran. Then make masah of your heads. Now many of us, when we were in Maktab, they taught us the three finger method. You separate your index finger, your thumb, your three fingers. Ulama have gone to the kitabs, and they have found that now as we are going, and we find that this method is becoming a little bit complicated for the children. So many things are becoming complicated for the children. Technology is the only thing that's not complicated for them. They can crack passwords, they can hack also. That is not an issue. But these things which we learn, that became an issue. Maths, English, all these things are complicated. Nevertheless, Alhamdulillah, they found in the kitabs that there's a very easy method of masah. If a person is doing it that way, no problem. Three finger method, take your three fingers, place it on your head. One alim brought it up. He said, many people, they are not making isti'ab. Isti'ab means they are not covering the head. Sometimes a person is worried about his hairstyle. The youngster is worried about his gel. He's worried about upsetting his hair. So what they are doing, they're using the fingertips. They're doing this, they're putting the fingertips, even the woman too. They're putting the fingertips, which is not even going to fulfill the farz. And they're thinking, so the hand is hovering above the head, and they're just doing with the fingertips, and they're thinking that the masah is done. That's not masah. Masah is that the fingers, hands must be placed on the head, and passed over the entire head till the back. So the three-finger method was then you raise the fingers, you bring the palms on the side of the head and use these two fingers for the massage of the ears. Easy method, from the kitabs also. And also the aspect of, should you take new water or should you just use the water that's left on your hands after washing the arms? So the ulama say that it's okay if a person takes new water, but they haven't found this anywhere. The same water that's on the hands after washing the arms must be used for massage. And the easy method of massage is take all the fingers, place it on the head, and pass the hands over the head till the back. Once that's done, massage is done. No other things to do. And then massage of the ears and the back of the nape. You find some people doing this. That's bid'ah. Ulama have written is bid'ah. And some people are washing their beard, having a ghusl in the wuzu. I've seen people washing. So all this now is foreign to the sunnah. You're not part of the sunnah. Sunnah is khilal of the beard after washing the face. Khilal means you pass your hands under. Take some water in the hands, you pass it under, all around. Khilal. Washing of the arms. After you wash the arms, you make khilal of the fingers. Then you make masa of the head. As I explained now. Masa of the ears and the nape. Nape means the side, in line with the shoulders. Shouldn't come down, should be in line with the shoulders. These are farz aspects, the masa of the head, arms, feet. And the last is, wa arjulakum ila al-ka'bain, washing of the feet from the toes, including the ankles. At least once is farz, but thrice is sunnah. Here the heels, you should pay attention to the heels, between the toes, the heels, and the ankles. This should be wet correctly. There was one brother, I remember, who just sat, put his foot under the water, and you could literally see the water wasn't reaching. Sometimes you alerted him, passed away now, Allah make his maghfirah, give him jannah. You alerted him, but you know what, you need to wash your feet properly. One Pakistani brother told me, Maulana, one day I went and corrected someone in wudu. So the person told me, you know who I am. I'm a grandfather. So meet me outside. And that is another topic, right? It's another topic. People are very sensitive, right? So he says, his Pakistani brother is telling me, he says, Maulana, if I told the same person, bhai, your car door is open, your headlights are on. He said, Jazakallah. You would have went outside, offed it, closed it, came again, Jazakallah. After namaz, you would have told me again, Jazakallah. You saved my car battery. See, I saved his namaz, and he's not worried about it. He says, the people are sensitive. But wherever we can teach, inshallah, teach. I found that in theory, we know. But in practice, that's where we falter. That's where we falter. So the practical method of wuzu, salah is very important. So now and again, tell someone, check on me. Check on me. There was a great, very great, one of the great mashayikh, Hafiz Abdul Rahman Miyar Rahmatullahi's son, Maulana Ibrahim Miyar Rahmatullahi, passed away in India. Should be over 300 people sitting here, take off with him, that in South Africa, right? When Maulana Abraul Haqsa Rahmatullahi, Hardoi used to come, he used to tell Maulana, please check my ruku, in front of people. He said, check my ruku. So, and Maulana used to be very jalali also. Certain aspects, make sure it's correct. So, we shouldn't be shy. Now and again, get someone that is knowledgeable. Check my wuzu. Check me how I'm making wuzu. Actually, the sunnah way of teaching is the practical way. I'm thinking now, I wash my arms correctly. Until someone came and pointed out, you know what, something is not right. Your heels. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded those sahaba whose heels were dry. He said, وَيْلُ لِلْعَقَابِ مِنَ النَّارُ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Woe to those heels from the fire. The wuzu is not correct. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. Allah Ta'ala give us profit.